Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. It's Wednesday, the first hour of our program. It must be time for Middays with Mark. That's what we're calling it, right, Congressman?
That's right, Tom. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, it's Middays with Mark Pocan, the U.S. Congressman representing the 2nd District of Wisconsin. He's the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus in Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives. Pocan.house.gov is the website, and you can tweet him at Rep, R-E-P, as in Representative, Rep Mark Pocan. Congressman, and by the way, if you have any questions for Congressman Pocan, our number is 202-808-9925. Lines are open, as they say in the radio business, and he will be taking your calls as soon as we have a brief conversation. So, Congressman, what's at the top of your hit parade today?
Well, I think, you know, getting ready for going back next week, we're in for 12 days in September in which we have to pass a budget by September 30th, debt ceiling either going to be tied to it or immediately following, and a threat from the president that if he doesn't, you know, get the wall, he's going to shut down government. So, you know, that has a huge impact across the board for everyone. So I think that's going to be kind of at front of mind for most members returning.
Yeah. What is the status? Today is the last day. In fact, let me get over to the website. I was just there this morning. If you go to fcc.gov and then click on public comment, and then at the very top of public comment is the public comments, which closed today on restoring internet freedom. It shows 8,570,000 people have posted there. And if you go on and look, they're all, you know, saying, in fact, now it's showing 21.8 million results. So there must be 21.8 million comments here. Your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, you'd think that would be more than satisfactory for them to not go in this direction. But, you know, they're trying to play with a line that, you know, the big, big providers, AT&T and Verizon and Comcast and a few others, you know, really want to be able to control more around the net. Not only do they want to charge you for internet access, but would also like to charge websites for a fast lane access. What that means are the big, big companies with lots of money can get access to you quicker, rather than that local business that you may buy from that has a web presence. So it's a bad idea, and I think anyone who's not one of the biggest telecom providers should be against it. But, you know, this is Trump's appointments on the FCC, and I think we're concerned at what direction they may go.
Yeah. I find it amazing that the television, the cable TV networks are owned by companies that are suing the government to end net neutrality, and they're not discussing this topic at all. I just maybe they have been today and I missed it. But like I said, today is the last day for comments. This is amazing.
I think if people can comment, I mean, it's a good thing to make sure the more they have, the harder it's going to be for them to come up with a decision that's just in the best interest of the telecommunication companies. So
yeah.
If people can, they should try to do it today.
Now, the Republicans have They were not enthusiastic about sending money, particularly Texas Republicans, sending money for Hurricane Sandy relief. And as I recall, they weren't all that enthusiastic about even Hurricane Katrina relief after 1,800 people died while George W. Bush was out having cake with John McCain at a birthday party. What's going on with this right now? How do you expect this to play out in Congress?
Well, you know, this is going to be, I think, particularly interesting because when we had Hurricane Sandy relief, Paul Ryan voted against it. 179 Republicans voted against it. I believe everyone in Texas but one Republican voted against it. And, you know, that was a wrong vote for them, right? I mean, we have to, or as a country, we have to, if there's a big disaster, we all have to be there for it. And, you know, it's been interesting to watch Republicans in the Northeast who were affected by Sandy, who voted for Sandy relief, saying, hey, we're going to support Texas because this is what our job as a country is. But then to watch, you know, Ted Cruz and other House Republicans from Texas trying to spin this that there was a bunch of pork and everything else, and, you know, Cruz got three Pinocchios for that. I mean, this is our job. This is why you have government. And, you know, it's going to be interesting if we have people trying to stop assistance going to Texas. And, you know, Speaker Paul Ryan, who's supposed to be the adult, you know, gets credit often for being the adult, was one of the people who voted against Hurricane Sandy relief, and I think that's significant.
Yeah. Today is the day that Trump is supposed to be officially starting to peddle his so-called tax reform. There's a great piece in the New York Times today by Sarah Anderson titled, "It's a Myth That Corporate Tax Cuts Make More Jobs." What is the position of the Congressional Progressive Caucus on this?
Well, you know, we would love to see, if you want to have tax reform, then we'll give you a very, very different direction to go. You know, we think that you should have higher rates on some of those who are making more money. And let's respect those who are working Americans, if you're going to talk about taxes, not just the top 1% and 2%, not just corporations. We already have plenty of loopholes. Corporations can buy a company in Ireland and do a tax inversion and pay nothing, which many of them do. There's already all these loopholes. I think it's going to be enormously hard for them to get anything done because I would say 20% of my meetings, Tom, in Washington are people who have some little niche carved out of a tax break and they want to preserve it, and that makes it harder than healthcare, and we saw how successful they were on that. But we would go in a very, very different direction, making sure that those who have the most can pay a greater share and that we provide real relief to people who are working class Americans and those aspiring to be in the working class.
Yeah. What's, you know, I'm watching with considerable horror both the activities of Scott Pruitt and Ryan Zinke at EPA and Interior, respectively, and the lack of coverage. These guys are aggressively, you know, making it easier and more profitable for big companies to poison our air and our water and our food supply, and open up public lands for drilling and mining and all this kind of stuff. It seems crazy to me. What is there anything that y'all in Congress can do about this?
Well, you know, I go back to probably what I say almost every week is elections have consequences, right? You know, the Republicans are in charge of the House, the Senate, and the White House. They're allowing these actions. It's very, very difficult. It's not just in this area. I was speaking with a bunch of labor leaders this morning talking about all the rule changes that the Obama administration put in place in the last year of their administration that are being turned back from OSHA to union rules to all sorts of things. And yet you don't hear much about those either. You know, unfortunately, whatever the president says in 140 characters will get all the press from the corporate media, and some of these real actions that are affecting people across the country don't get the same attention. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't see Paul Ryan trying to change direction on that because he's so complicit with whatever happens out of the Trump administration. We're going to have a lot to fix when we finally get the House majority back.
Yeah, and let's hope that's a year and a half from now. Congressman Mark Pocan with us, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, representing the 2nd District of Wisconsin in the House of Representatives. Pocan.house.gov, your opportunity to ask your congressman a question. Middays with Mark. And welcome back. Carl in McChesney Park, Illinois. Hey, Carl, what's up?
Hi, I was wondering how the Iron Stash is doing in his campaign against Paul Ryan. I understand he's raising a ton of money.
Congressman?
Yeah, Randy Bryce is doing a great job, and I believe watching Rachel Maddow tonight might be something useful for some folks to do, because I understand they had a poll, and they may be releasing some results which are very, very positive for Randy Bryce. He's working real hard. He's been handling the issues right, working real hard on things like health care and other issues to provide a real contrast. This is a real race. Paul Ryan is in for the election of his lifetime. We have a chance to flip a seat just across where you live in McChesney Park into Wisconsin. And I think people should be watching this race as one of the top races in the country to be really keeping track of.
Gary in Cooperstown, New York, watching Free Speech TV there. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Congressman. I just I mentioned to the screener that this morning I was watching MSNBC, and an Al Jazeera English reporter, Shahid Ratansi, was talking about climate change and how it affected the situation in Texas. And when he got to talking about the money that was spent, made by the oil company, the denial of the oil companies, and then also that Texas politicians would be held responsible, they cut them off. And I know we talk about this a lot, about the corporate media not covering climate change, but I've got living proof on tape that they did it. We never saw anything else of Shahib and the rest of their reporting. They went to other rescues and other, things that would be, other shiny objects, if you will. And I just wondered about, is there anything anybody can do other than just not watch MSNBC, but just the hypocrisy of not covering this in the light that it should be?
Sure, Gary. First of all, I think what we've learned is, the oil industry has known about this for a long time and selectively chose to do nothing. That information's starting to get out more. But, I think any of these Texas Republicans who haven't voted for flood relief for other areas, who still deny climate change as this happens to their own communities and their own state, I think the flood insurance debate that we have coming up also very likely in September, how can you not argue that we're having major climate changes and that they've got to point to something that's doing that? I'm hopeful that, again, people are way ahead of where elected officials are. Elected officials are still kowtowing to the oil and other industries that don't want to admit there's climate change. But we're winning because people understand what's happening, and we just have to replace the people who won't change their ways.
Yeah, seems like a pretty straightforward process. Congressman, we just have 30 seconds till we hit the break. What's your best advice for people who want to change that situation?
Well, I think, whatever group you think is doing the best job on those issues, I always argue double down with those groups right now. They can magnify your voice, call your representatives, make sure they know where you stand. People are doing that more than ever. But then work with those groups that you believe in on those issues you care about and let them magnify your voice. We're winning on all of these fronts if we keep unified.
Yeah. And I don't even think it's a big if. I think people are really coming together right now. And you're one of the real heroes of the movement. Congressman Mark Pocan, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, pocan.house.gov, and website. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Welcome back. Congressman Mark Pocan on the line with us, taking your calls. Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman program on this Wednesday first hour. And Deborah in St. Paul, Minnesota, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi. excuse me. I just had an idea. Maybe people thought of this before, but is it possible we could, we all get a Social Security number. Could we all get a voting number so then there isn't a problem with the names, duplicating, and maybe that would alleviate that problem?
Well, and Deborah, that is part of what we have a bill right now to say if you're going to purge someone, you have to have their Social Security number to prove that they're not, that the two people are the same number, because what they're doing is taking Jose Rodriguez in Florida and Jose Rodriguez in Oklahoma and just purging them because there's two Jose Rodriguez, which is still a fairly common name and not enough to differentiate. Therefore, we're saying you need a middle name, you need a Social Security number. But I think it does come to this automatic voter registration issue. How can we make sure that it's not a burden to become, to be able to do your civic duty, which is to vote. And, you know, I think we should have all suggestions on the table, Deborah. And you're right. We all get a Social Security number. I know that some people, I think we need to look at all options to figure out how we can ensure that that is a sacred right, in addition to putting it as part of our Constitution, which Keith Ellison from your area and I are trying to do.
Kevin, in Santa Fe, New Mexico, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you for taking my call, Congressman Pocan. I am concerned about the South Texas nuclear plant. Not only did this hurricane visit every one of our major refineries in Houston, Beaumont, Port Arthur, and Lake Charles, but there are three nuclear plants in its path, and with a floodgate forecasting a 45-foot crest in Bay City and a 41-foot retaining wall around the South Texas plant, I'm a little concerned, especially with Rick Perry in charge. Oof.
Rick Perry alone in charge of anything should make people worry. But your point is well taken. And again, it goes back to this whole debate around climate change. People who want to ignore the science because there's some special interests that want them to ignore the science. And yet, that's a real life ramification. You know, if we have problems with power, with nuclear plants, with just about anything, that's affecting real people. Real people will die, and you can't just continue to ignore it because the oil industry is going to keep practicing in the exact same way. So I think it kind of comes back to that original fight. I think most people, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, understand what climate change is. We have to just force that upon those who are our so-called leaders.
Dave, in Canton, Ohio, you're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan. Dave? Let's stand serious, XM.
Hello.
Hey, Dave, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I'm concerned about President Trump's pardon activities. Is there any way that the Senate or the Congress can pass a bill that limits his powers to pardon?
You know, I'll tell you, I think we may have to, with this president, you have to look at everything differently because he's operating so differently. I mean, I think part of the pardon that happened for the sheriff in Arizona was based on just the president thinking that some of his base are outright racist and he's doing it for them and, quite honestly, for himself. But I think a part of it was a signal to all the people that are being called in on the investigations on Russia that, hey, look, I'll have your backs early and often. You don't even have to ask for it because they're claiming sheriff didn't even ask for it and all of a sudden got the pardon. I think there's more of a message that came out of that, not just to keep his race baiting that he's been doing over the last several weeks, which has been just awful, but also to send a message that, you know, keep quiet and if something happens to you, I can take care of you. I've got the power of pardon. I think he enjoys king-like powers as a president.
Well, he's always been a CEO, which is functionally a king. I mean,
right.
Corporations are essentially feudal institutions. So maybe he just thinks that's how it's supposed to be. Matt, in Norfolk, Virginia, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Congressman Pocan, it's an honor to speak with you today. My question is about the budget. I don't know how the budget rules work, but can if he threatens to veto your budget bill if it doesn't include the wall, do you guys have the power to overrule his veto? And if so, is there any sort of plan or steps being made to do so?
Well, I think we're probably a little ahead of ourselves because, first of all, I think many of the Republicans support what he's doing on the wall. There are some, remarkably, on border districts who know it's a bad idea that may not support that. But, you know, if he would veto it, yes, we would have the ability to override. But I think that is many steps yet ahead. And I personally think often when the president says something, it's bravado. It's when he doesn't say it, you got to watch out. Like when he did the initial ban on people who are transgender serving in the military. We didn't have advance notice. It just happened in a tweet. I think that's the problem. He often puts these ideas out. He does them in rally settings. He does it for the applause from his adoring fans to cover his narcissism. But I don't know if he'll actually live up to it, one. But more importantly, I think the Republicans likely will keep funding in for the wall because most of them support that.
Sam in Estes Park, Colorado. Sam, we got a minute to the break. Real quick question for Congressman Pocan.
Yes, impeachment. I called my representatives here in Colorado, Senator Bennett, Gardner, and Congressman Paulus, and I wasn't surprised by Gardner's response about impeachment because he's a Republican, but I was surprised that Bennett and Paulus didn't really seem, well, their staffers, I spoke to staffers, didn't seem that they had any statement of any sort of force or strength on this issue. And I'm just wondering how come it seems to me through them that the Democrats aren't like taking up this rhetorical space on the battlefield like much more passionately.
Yeah, Sam, it's going to be hard in 20 seconds, but let me say this. I think many of our members are talking about it. We say we have every option open, including impeachment. And we also realize that you need a bunch of Republicans to join with us in order to do that. And we're not there yet, but we need to keep the pressure on because so far I've heard a new case for impeachment that I thought was very compelling this week. And I think we need to keep every option open.
We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Mark Pocan in our Middays with Mark Hour here on the Tom Hartman Program. First hour Wednesday, Congressman Pocan, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, a Democrat from Wisconsin, taking your call. Fantasy football fans, the wait is nearly over. Football is back, which means FanDuel is back. FanDuel is fantasy football for everyday fans. They have new contests starting every week, so there's no busted seasons. FanDuel has something for everyone. Lots of contests to choose from, starting at just $1. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score in real time. Hey, would you like to have Colin Kaepernick on your team? He's on mine. There's a lot of ways to put together and personalize your team, and boy, the games just get better and better. Over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and use my code TOM, T-H-O-M. New users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com and sign up with promo code TOM, T-H-O-M. That's FanDuel, F-A-N-D-U-E-L.com, promo code TOM. Void where prohibited.
Welcome back, Tom Hartman here with you. A couple of quick reminders. I have a piece that was published on Alternet a few hours ago. We have to be vigilant about the coming smear project against Antifa. The media is busy creating a left-wing threat to balance the awful racist right-wing hordes who threaten civil society, just an FYI. And also, if you go over to FCC.gov and click on your filings, you'll see that as of today, there have been 21,800,000 people who have weighed in on net neutrality. As of the last 30 days, it's been 8.5 million people. A lot going on there. You might want to get your voice in. Today's the last day to do that. Congressman Mark Pocan on the line with us, taking your calls. It's our Midday with Mark segment. And Bobby in Kaiser, Oregon, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you for taking my call. Congressman, I'm a veteran. I've been using the VA health system for over 20 years. I've had colonoscopies done. They found a polyp. Thank God it hasn't turned cancerous yet. So I've had a few colonoscopies done. I get an annual physical every year. I've had a couple surgeries. And they've never billed me or charged me for anything. But since Trump's team has taken office, I've had two doctor visits. And now I've gotten a bill for $50 copayment for each of those visits. Is this something I can expect now, a $50 copayment? And do you know why this started?
I can't tell you why it started. What I can tell you is we're facing a number of attacks that are even greater than what you're mentioning when it comes to the VA system, because there is, I think, a true effort to privatize the system. So we started out with the so-called Choice Act because some people supposedly weren't getting good care. You know, we recognize the system in Arizona had bad management. In Wisconsin, at Toma, we had a problem with the prescription of opiates. But the vast majority of the VA system runs very, very well, and people get great care out of it. In fact, my Tea Party uncle in Colorado, who followed me around at a wedding once, telling me everything that was wrong with the federal government, at the very end said, but leave my VA alone. So we understand that there's the value to it. Our fight right now is just fighting back against these little slippery slope bills to nick away and nick away and nick away, and eventually you won't have a functioning VA system. So keep vigilant and make sure you're reaching out to your representatives in Oregon, Bobby, about these bills, because it's important that we hold the votes tight so that they don't destroy our VA system.
Scott in Xenia, Ohio, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good afternoon. Congressman, thank you for your service to your country. And Tom, thank you for the service you do every day.
My pleasure. I
am petrified of the right using Harvey as a political football. Legislatively, what can you do to keep them from boxing you into a corner when you vote for the relief for it by keeping off things like the wall or like tax breaks for the rich or the typical right wing stuff that they're trying to do legislatively right now?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for your comments, Scott. And you know, we're going to have to be vigilant on whatever they may do to try to put a package together. As you said, you know, we've got a this is the month we have to keep government open or face a shutdown. And everything from flood insurance could be attached, perhaps the wall, although I think they can still do that through the budget process. I don't think tax breaks would be able to, but you're right to be watching for everything. We're going to have to do that. I mean, it's important that we take care of everyone who's been affected by Harvey. But if they try to politicize that, we have to be able to stand up and have that backbone to make sure we're doing not just the right thing for the people of Texas and Louisiana, but also making sure that they don't pull a fast one on the American people.
Patrick in Seattle. Hey, Patrick, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom, and Congressman Pocan, thank you so much for your time and information. I'm calling about the issue of gerrymandering, and it seems like, well, yesterday there was an article in New York Times about the impact of Republican-controlled state houses strengthening their grip on their electability, and I'm just curious what the Democratic Party is doing to offset that, that trend.
Yeah, Patrick, great, great question. I mean, gerrymandering is why we have a Tea Party. Or their ability to continue to have power. Gerrymandering is why in Wisconsin we had 100,000 more votes for Democratic candidates for Congress, but they have 5 of the 8 seats in Wisconsin, and it's even worse in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Ohio. You know, gerrymandering is taking away that really one vote per person balance because they're selecting who votes for them rather than the other way around. So luckily, we're seeing Barack Obama and Eric Holder stand up nationally doing a bunch of work around this. It's very, very important work. We've got bills in Congress, but won't become law with a Republican House and a Republican Senate. But we're trying to do everything we can to talk about it. In Wisconsin, there's a major case that's before the Supreme Court right now. We're anxiously waiting for those results. I think in October we should see those. But you pegged it right. Gerrymandering and those state legislatures is so important in the next 2 election cycles. We have to pay attention to those legislative races because that's where the lines are drawn for both Congress and state legislative seats.
Paul in Denison, Texas. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you, Tom. And Congressman Pocan, it's an honor to speak with you, sir.
Thank you.
My question today has to do with organized crime, actually. I mean, now that we've elected essentially an organized mob boss as a president, and our Justice Department is now being run by this mafia, what steps can Congress begin to take to begin to actually rein in corporate power and put a stop to the monopoly and duopolies that we're seeing in every industry? And it just seems like things are kind of snowballing out of control.
Yeah, Paul, great concerns. And let me answer it in this way. I was heartened to see in the House and Senate Democrats' proposal for a bitter deal they put out there, one of the major focuses that they understood that's important that we, when we talk about economics, because that is the driving issue that unfortunately I don't think got the attention it needed to in 2016, is the antitrust laws that quite honestly came in under Bill Clinton and have now gone to a really terrible spot where we have consolidation in industries. There's a reason why one major airline was able to drag someone off a plane is because there's only a few major airlines to even choose from. And that's true in big real estate firms, big banking firms, go down the list. And it's those antitrust laws that often on the board of directors within a few industries have the same people on the boards of directors. So all the decisions are made to make sure they're enriched and not in money put back into the company or the employees. So I was heartened to see that was one of the major planks of that better deal proposal. We are working on Mark DeSalnia from California, Debbie Dingell from Michigan, Don Norcross from New Jersey, and myself, a future of work, wages, and labor project that we're putting out at the end of the month, and that's one of the major parcels of that. There's some good work happening to make sure that's more made more, getting more public attention, and I think that's going to be positive, Paul, because I know people will agree with us on this when they see all the facts about it.
Dave in Canton, Ohio. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello.
Hey, Dave.
How you doing? I was on a little earlier, and I got cut off, and I was asking about the possibility of limiting Trump's pardon powers.
Well, it's already limited to he cannot pardon against state crimes. I mean, that's the giant loophole that could be used against Trump, isn't it, Congressman?
Yes. And in fact, you know, one of the interesting things that came out of a discussion I had heard in the last 24 hours was, you know, when you look at, for example, the interference with elections that happened, if the Trump administration won't do anything about it, perhaps individual election officials or secretaries of state or whatever the structure is in a given state, one of those 37 or 39 states that were hacked into, they should have a legal recourse and ability to go after it. So I think the president does have somewhat of a limited pardon, but we can be creative and find other ways to make sure that we're still getting to the truth and getting the results we need.
Leslie in Central Square, New York. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello?
Leslie, you're on the air.
Yes, yes. I want to talk about a couple of things quick-like here. In 1996, I think it was, Bill Clinton signed a law into law with Newt Gingrich with the Communications Act. I can't name it right now. I assume you guys can.
It's called the Telecommunications Act of 1996, yes.
Yes, exactly. What that did was it took away our freedom of the press. We have no freedom of the press because of that law, okay? And Democrats have never done nothing about it after that, okay? And it's been 25 years or more. There's no freedom of the press. You got six conglomerates, and they trade information back and forth all the time and stuff, and I don't believe that's legal either, okay? This is very terrible. This is the stuff that makes America work, you know? And we don't have a free press. We don't.
Well, let's get Congressman Pocan's thoughts on this.
Well, I think, you know, Leslie, I agree that there are some concerns on how the corporate media covers things and doesn't cover things, because trust me, we've often tried as a progressive caucus. We have rallies and press conferences with lots of people, and they never get covered by the corporate media, because if that's not selling detergent during the news hour, it may not get covered. And I think some is explicit. They don't cover things because of who their advertisers are or who their owners are. I'm a journalism major. I still believe there is a good amount of freedom of the press. However, there are certainly challenges out there. And if we have something like the net neutrality law change, I think that's a attack on that freedom of press. And there's other things that could happen as well, especially in an administration that treats the media like they do, trying to demonize them in order to get their agenda done.
Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour here on the Tom Hartman Program. 202-808-9925 is our telephone number. You can reach Congressman Pocan. You can check out his website at Pocan, P-O-C-A-N.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep Mark, M-A-R-K, Pocan, P-O-C-A-N. And we'll be right back with more of your calls. And welcome back. Rob in Milpitas, California. You are on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Thank you, Tom. And I'm calling about the resolution that was passed this past Sunday at the California Democratic Party Executive Board meeting, which called on the DNC to essentially stop ignoring voter suppression and rigged vote counting machines. As we kind of saw in the Ossoff campaign, no matter what we as Democrats do to get the vote out, the voting counting machine seemed to flip the results, because it appears that John Ossoff got two votes for every one vote that Karen Handel got. And I was wondering, Congressman, what can we possibly do to get the DNC to pay attention to the rigged vote counting machines and start turning this around? Because I think we already have enough voters going to the polls. Even, you know, they've got gerrymandering, they've got all the other voter suppression methods, but once we get there, our votes are not being properly counted.
Yeah, so Rob, I think you bring up a really strong point, because one of the concerns that I saw, along with Keith Ellison and Hank Johnson, Keith Ellison from Minnesota, Hank Johnson from Georgia, was the hacking that happened, and the fact that they were going after the companies that make our voting machines and going after election officials. So what we did is we introduced a bill called the SAFE Act, and what it does is a couple of things. One, it makes sure that every electronic voting machine has a receipt, so you have a paper receipt. Two, it makes sure there's random auditing afterwards, 5% auditing, so that it's less of incentive for anyone to try to rig an election because you can get caught during that process. Three, it makes sure that we have the commission that the Republicans originally this year earlier voted to get rid of that has to approve the patches that go through. And four, it puts our entire election system under the nation's critical infrastructure definition, which is what our financial systems and our utilities are under for the utmost protection. We have to do some of those things at a bare minimum to protect that election infrastructure so we have the integrity protected. And there's more things we can do as well, and you brought gerrymandering up and other issues. But on the election machines themselves, let's make sure that they are absolutely – we still have a commission to approve any patches and changes that happen. Let's have a paper ballot. Let's have random audits of those elections.
You know, Ireland tried our electronic voting machines in one election. They not only got rid of them, they refused to sell them as voting machines. They were afraid somebody might actually buy them and use them for that. So they sold them into the scrap metal market based on the weight of them. And, you know, they were crushed and sold by the ton or by the pound. Why should we have any computers, particularly privatized ones, at all in our voting chain?
Well, and I think, yeah, that's a real significant conversation. If we are going to see future attacks, which I think we're going to see, why do we have five companies, including one company that has been explicit supporter of Republican politicians, making machines? Part of our infrastructure maybe should also be that we as a country are going to have the production. There's computerized machines that aren't the touchscreen ones, right? I mean, there's ones where you fill in the Scanatronic, you know, and those sure. I've done hand recounts. So I don't want to say anything computerized, but I do think, you know, we've got to have that security within any machine that is electronic.
Yeah. I remember in Georgia years ago, this we had a producer, his on-air name was Zen Pickle, and he lived in Marietta, Georgia, and he went to vote, and this was in a minority area. He went to vote, and he tried to write in a name, and it crashed the machine. He crashed six voting machines in a row, and each one of them, they had to wipe all the memory cards. All the previous votes got lost. Anyhow, we'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Mark. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls here on the Tom Hartman program. Anthony in Watsonville, California. You are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hartman, for taking my call.
Sure.
Thank you, Congressman Pocan. My question is about voter suppression. And we're always on the defense with the Republican Party. They're always at one step ahead. My thought is if this cross-check by Chris Kobach goes through, they try to push a bill. Can we have a rider on the bill so if a corporation gets caught doing something illegally, they can't contribute to the Republican Party, like a felon can't vote?
Hmm.
Anthony, I like your thinking. That's an interesting suggestion. Part of the problem right now is it's hard to get anything attached to a bill if it, you know, with a Republican House, Senate, and president. But I really... It's an interesting concept because I think many of us have a problem with the idea that a corporation is a person when it comes to campaign contributions, but not when it comes to putting someone in prison. And I like the type of outside-the-box thinking you have.
So any corporation convicted of a felony
cannot
lobby for the next 20 years or something like that, you know, until they've had their parole, their probation. That is a great idea. Sheena in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, thank you guys for what you do. Representative, my question, I heard you mention it a week or two ago about a bill, I believe you said it was H.R. 669, that would prevent any president from initiating a first strike only. And I think you said it was sitting in Paul Ryan's office, and I was wondering if there's any movement on that, because that's what terrifies me the most with this president.
Yeah, I don't know the number offhand. I apologize, because there's over 5,000 bills in there. I think the only one I really know is 676 and Medicare for All, because I talk about it just about every day. But on that, I mean, yeah, there's so far no movement that we have on that bill, and I doubt, given Paul Ryan's experience on what he just did to us on the reauthorization for Congress to get involved on declaring war, that he would be very good at helping us out on this one either.
Dave in Somerville, South Carolina. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hey, good afternoon, sir. Congressman, quick question. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and about just about all of my friends who are in unions there voted for Trump, and I still can't figure that out. But is it illegal or legal for you as a representative to attend a union meeting and try to explain to these guys, you know, what they're voting for and how they're, you know, hurting their future by voting Republican?
Yeah, Dave. So first of all, no, it's not illegal. This morning I sat down with about 50 labor leaders in my district. You know, I'm part of IUPAT, the Painters and Allied Trades myself. You know, I think what we found, and I've talked to a number of union leaders who polled their members afterwards, you know, there's a lot of economic frustration out there, and they think that Washington and the system and the elite still run things, and I don't think they're wrong. And they looked at Trump. Many people stayed home, and that's what we saw in Wisconsin. A lot of union people just decided that the Democrats didn't speak to them in the last election, and they still didn't trust Donald Trump. And some went with Donald Trump because he actually gave a very good surface answer on trade. The problem is his details really weren't there, but they've been impacted by trade. So I think our job is to do a much better job on talking on those economic core issues. That includes collective bargaining. We have better wages and better working conditions. People can go home at the end of the day without a risk of dying or being injured at work because of unions. And we need to get that message out, especially with Labor Day coming up on Monday. So I think we need to really get more of a reintroductory lesson about what unions have done throughout history, why we have weekends, why we have a 40-hour work week, et cetera. But no, it's not illegal to go to union meetings, and I would hope more elected officials would do it.
Kerry in Homestead, Florida. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan. Kerry?
Homestead, Florida. Yeah, that's me, Kerry Cox.
Yep, you're on the air.
Mr. Hartman, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. This is my first time.
Thank you.
And I want to thank the congressman for being there with you. It shows bravery, for one thing. That's most important to me. But I'd like to ask the congressman, would he a proposal for a national identification for voting registration in the national elections, you know, and you can have the duplicate of both of them, I'm sorry, a redundancy at least. So
no, I hear you, Terry. So first of all, let me just say, I mean, I appreciate Tom opening up this opportunity because I consider I'm part of the legislative arm of the resistance. And what I'm trying to do is share what's happening in Washington while you're all contacting your representatives and helping us provide with ideas. We're all on the same team. So this is a great opportunity. And I thank Tom for what he's doing and connecting all of us. You know, I think anything we can do to get to automatic voter registration, it shouldn't be a barrier. It shouldn't be a timeline. We need to get much better on this. That's why I've, along with Keith Ellison, proposed a constitutional amendment to guarantee a right to vote that would do that. I'm open to pretty much anything that would make it easier for people to vote legally, which is the way they're voting.
Okay. Chuck in Winter Park, Maine. We have 90 seconds to the end of the hour, Chuck. A real quick question, please, for Congressman Pocan.
Yes, sir. I'm very concerned about hedge funds. Hedge funds have caused a lot of trouble for us here in a little village in Maine. We had two of them. One bought up all the medical clinics. Another one bought up all the phones. There's a real problem, and I want to decide, I don't know if how this figures in the plans, taxation plans, but I certainly have a fear of these hedge funds.
Okay, let's ask Congressman Pocan his thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, first, I mean, I think around taxation, when it comes to passive income and other things, we do need to have a different conversation because I think there are strong arguments that we should be taxing rates differently on some of that income so that we're getting a fair compensation as everyone else who's making money. You know, my big fear, quite honestly, a little broader, if I can, Chuck, is that they're rolling back Dodd-Frank across the board, and that's going to take us back to the pre-2008 era, and that almost devastated the economy. We can't let that happen, and I think we have to really push back on our elected officials who are doing that and make sure people know we want consumer protections, and we can't let the banksters go back to being banksters.
Do you think they're going to succeed in gutting Dodd-Frank?
They are right now in the House, and if they can get it through the Senate, you know, we got to be careful of those few swing Democrats on what they could possibly accept, but the Republicans are almost unanimous in trying to gut it. You know, to be fair, there's a few things that could be fixed because we haven't been doing our jobs. The bureaucrats might have been a little aggressive on some of the
But that's not what they're interested in. Yeah.
No.
Congressman Pocan, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We'll be back. Fantasy football fans, the wait is nearly over. Football is back, which means FanDuel is back. FanDuel is fantasy football for everyday fans. They have new contests starting every week, so there's no busted seasons. FanDuel has something for everyone. Lots of contests to choose from, starting at just $1. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score in real time. Hey, would you like to have Colin Kaepernick on your team? He's on mine. There's a lot of ways to put together and personalize your team, and boy, the games just get better and better. Over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and use my code TOM, T-H-O-M. New users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com and sign up with promo code TOM, T-H-O-M. That's FanDuel, FanDuel.com, promo code TOM, void where prohibited. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And in the studio with us is Charles Sauer, libertarian economist and president of the Market Institute, marketinstitute.org. His Twitter handle is Charles Sauer, S-A-U-E-R. Charles, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So in Texas right now, the Republican Texas Attorney General is threatening to prosecute stores and pretty much any other kind of business that are engaged in price gouging based on a natural disaster. It's a $20,000 fine if you do it against a normal person, and it's a $250,000 fine if you do price gouging against somebody who's over 65. So this is like very un-libertarian. I mean, it seems to me that the libertarian worldview would be, hey, you know, if the demand in town is for 1 million bottles of water, and the water is selling for $1 a bottle, and suddenly there's only 500,000 bottles of water, every bottle of water is worth $2. If there's only 250,000 bottles of water, so every bottle of water is worth $4.
Yep.
That what disasters do is they simply, you know, interact with the marketplace, and price gouging is not price gouging. It is a perfectly normal thing.
We care about people, Tom. We want the people that are thirsty to have it instead of the people that need to refill their fish bowls with bottled water.
So you're saying that asking people who don't have two pennies to rub together, just lost everything, just got wiped out, their home is gone, they can't pay their bills, they're going to be homeless probably, you know, for years, they're just devastated, that saying to that person, you know, you're going to have to pay $40 for that bottle of water, which you may not make it through the night without, because I don't want you pouring it into your fish bowl? Seriously? Well,
I'm saying that the government forcing the small business owner what price he should charge for something and holding a fine over his head if he forgets in the middle of a flooded storm to check somebody's check somebody's ID to see if they're 65 or older before he gets
You can't price gouge people under 65 either.
Yeah, but 20, he might be able to make it up if he's charging the right amount of money for his water. I mean,
if he charges $25,000 for the bottle of water and he gets hit with a $20,000 fine, he just made a $5,000 profit and just paid the cost of doing business. Is that what you're saying?
The thing is, and why price gouging doesn't actually exist, right? There's no such thing. It's only price gouging when the left decides what moral state it's going to be.
Except this is not the left. This is the Republican Party of Texas. This is the Republican Attorney General of Texas. In fact, the Republican Attorney General of Texas said, and I quote, selling or leasing. That's the law. Excuse me. Let me find the place in the article where.
There's a Republican Attorney General of Kansas that was actually somebody who went to law school with my father that I wrote letters to on. Regarding price gouging, because he was actually pursuing it in Kansas.
Here's what AG Ken Paxton said. He said, we're going to find you, price gougers. Once we find you, we are going to pursue you. So stop. Better to stop than to be found out. So this
power corrupts. This is one of the things that an attorney general has as his power, and one of the stepping stones to governor or to senator or to something with more power is attorney general. So you have a huge public crisis like this. It becomes very popular for somebody to take their power and their position and exert it. And that's how he believes. And I think all of the Republican attorney generals that pursue price gouging are woefully underinformed on the economic situation behind prices and what sets a price, but also what the long-term effects of what they're doing is going to be. I mean, look, this happened in Katrina. Rich people were doing normal fixes on their houses when poor people still had holes in their roofs and weren't able to find lumber to fix them because the supplies weren't able to get back in there. If you're able to actually increase the prices to where the market will hold, then people can get the people that demand it high enough can get the supplies they need. It holds the supply where it's supposed to be.
So your argument is that basically only the rich need survive. To hell with poor people.
No,
you know, I'm almost speechless. I mean, it's just I'm astonished that you would support a capitalist. These aren't even capitalists in some cases. Many of them are just, you know, entrepreneurs or whatever. You would support a predator basically lining their pockets on the back of people who are experiencing a horrible disaster. I think most people have more morality than that, Charles.
And I find
Charles,
it
they don't,
confounding.
They don't subscribe to these, you know, amoral libertarian theologies.
You can't out-moral me on this because the fight that you're making is so that the rich person, so that the top 1% can easily and cheaply buy the water that it takes to put in their fishbowl or to flush their toilet. And the morality of that versus having water where a family might be able to feed their daughters and their kids is not, that's not the moral world that I want to live in. I want to live in the moral world where we can give water to.
That's a straw man argument, Charles. If they can't engage in price gouging and they have a certain amount of water, they're not going to say to the first person who walks in the door and says, I'll take 40 of those because I want to flush my toilet and do my fish tank. You know, and you know, realizing you only have 45 of them and then walking. No, they're going to say you can have one.
Look, we know where the moral case on this and the straw man being made here is by you. The actual case here and the facts behind this are that the government didn't want price gougers in the flood insurance market. So what happened? The government came in and not only mandated a price, they took over the flood insurance market and they're charging below prices for flood insurance. And so now we've had an increase of
that's
people in the floodplain.
That's a different argument.
No, it's not. That's what happened. The government says people were price gouging
yes,
on flood
has,
insurance.
No, it had
that's
nothing.
That's the exact argument we're doing. I've got the moral high ground here. You're not going to take it.
You know, I don't disagree with you about the flood insurance. The federal government's supporting flood insurance is causing mostly wealthy people. The vast majority of the flood insurance that's been used is people who have coastal properties and coastal properties.
John Stossel is a good example. You know, He's had several houses replaced.
So you're talking, you know, multi-million dollar mansions and things like that that are supported by flood insurance. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are wiped out and they need water. And they go to the local store and this local store is saying the water that yesterday was $1 a bottle is now $40 a bottle. Do you have your 40 bucks? And the people say no. And it's like, tough luck, Charlie.
People were wiped out for the same policies. They're wiped out because of price-setting policies of big government.
They were wiped out because the fossil fuel industry has been lying to us for four decades about what they know about climate change. And you've got...
Now I know I just won because we just reverted from flood insurance and price gouging to fossil fuels.
They were wiped out by a storm.
That's when I win.
They were wiped out by a storm. And that storm was fueled by global warming. Absolutely. But that's not the point or the debate either. The debate is, what do you do about price gouging? And you're saying you do nothing about it. And I'm saying that's insanely immoral. The purpose of a government is to provide for the general welfare of its citizens.
No, we just saw you define the morality again. I mean, the fact is you can't unstrawman the straw man. The basic argument here is that government set the prices too low on flood insurance, so people moved in. That's government price setting. And what you're saying is now government should price set here for the water. Well, now what happens? What if the person buys the water from
Government should set
no,
the price
Tom,
of the water.
Let's continue down this
I'm
road.
I'm saying stay with the marketplace. Whatever the price for the water was, so that's the price for the water
the
is.
The marketplace is only going to be fined in the end by the government. And because you're the marketplace
okay, the
only defines prices
what
by
price
supply and
is.
Demand. So the fact is so now let's continue this. So now the store can't price gouge. So the rich person buys the water in the store to fill up their fish tank or their toilet. But they get back to their neighborhood and somebody actually needs the water there. And they can't sell it to them because now you're going to consider that price gouging.
Not for $100.
It doesn't stop. I mean, that's the point is once price gouging doesn't stop. It keeps the waste going.
No, I'm not a fan of wage and price controls. You know, Nixon tried that in the 70s. It didn't work.
This is a wage and price control.
This is preventing people from behaving like predators when their friends and neighbors are in distress.
By controlling the price.
That is the
definition of price control.
By leaving the price where the market had set it.
Under distress, every time we talk about an issue, there's some group or something that's under stress. And so we're only talking about the stress is defined by the left in this case. And so, I mean, you're going to move price gouging
into Tuesday.
You're
not even acknowledging stress. You're saying, well, you know, if somebody's dehydrated, if they're, you know, three-year-old child is about to die from thirst and they don't have the $50 for the bottle of water.
I'm fully acknowledging stress. That's why I want markets to dictate the price.
All right. Charles Seller. Welcome back. Tom Hutton here with you. And Muwata in Ashbury Park, New Jersey. Hey, Muwata, what's up?
How you doing, Tom? I just want to let you know I've been listening to your show for many years and, you know, you have good subjects, but I just want to weigh in on this whole thing about violence versus self-defense.
Right.
And I want to, clear that I'm a Vietnam vet. I was also part of the original BLM, Black Liberation Movement, back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And I feel that the system itself, the violence of capitalism, which brings on white supremacy, food and medical, lack of and education in the black community, people of color, that's violence in itself. And I think, like, you know, I believe violence brings violence. At the same time, too many of our people that are talking about, you know, anti-fascism, anti-Nazi, there to them, it's kind of, especially some of the white left, is like a luxury to them. But we as black people live it every day in our communities, from whether it's police brutality or, as I said, lack of food, good medical education, stuff like that. So it's about, in our sense, it's about self-defense and it's about destroying something that has, from this time we've been in this country, been about, you know, violence and terrorism against us. So I'm not an anti-violence person. I believe in self-defense. And I think that's where a lot of us activists in the black community come from with that.
I absolutely understand, Wada. Let me ask you a question. If the marchers at the Edmund Pettus Bridge back in 1960, what year was that? 65, wasn't it, as I recall?
Right, I think so. Right.
Yeah. If the marchers on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, the African-Americans who had come out of Selma, if they had gone to that march wearing helmets and carrying baseball bats, and when the police attacked them and beat them, they fought back and beat some cops. And, you know, there was also a bunch of city folk there who were wailing on them. If they had fought back and cracked some heads and thrown a few people into the river and given as good as they got, what would the media coverage have said about them?
Oh, yeah, I agree. The media is biased, and the media will Wednesday they have us a riot. But that's the same thing they talked about us when we had rebellions in Newark.
Right. Instead of the media be talking about the violence of the institution of policing in Alabama, they would be talking instead about, you know, both sides are at fault. You know, it was a riot, the word you used, Muwata. And instead of saying, look at how shockingly violent this white power structure is.
Yeah.
And so, I acknowledge, I'd be the first to acknowledge, I've written books about it, about, you know, how there's a violence that is endemic to capitalism and to, frankly, our form of government to a large extent. And it's a very real violence, and that violence has traditionally been directed against women and people of color.
and by white men, and continues to be, for that matter. But the question is then, what do you do about that violence? Do you, quote, defend yourself and fight back against it? Or do you allow it to be demonstrated to the world in all its horror? You know, the death of Heather Heyer is the tragic death of Heather Heyer, which I would never, you know, wish on anybody. But here was a nonviolent anti-fascist who was murdered by a fellow who had violence and hate in his heart. And that caused us all to wake up and say, whoa, look at that. But if after he had hit her, if somebody else's car had hit him and he had died, where would we be?
I agree. Well, all I would say to that is, Tom, that's why I think we really need to form a broad united front against fascism, racism, and it's all its things in America here. And that broad front has had many ends of strategy from, like, you know, community self-defense, first of all, of course. And then also, you know, other means, you know, political, you know, civil disobedience, a lot of things that we took from the civil rights era. But I think it can be a one type of strategy, because you're talking about a system, like, as you say, that is very violent against all these people. So you need a broad strategy to combat it.
But then what do you do, Moana, when some of the people who are on your side, if you're committed to nonviolence, if some of the people on your side are committed to responding to violence with violence and they're standing next to you? What do you do?
All right. That becomes a problem. But that's why a broad united front, you have a set of principles. And people that are in that front, they have
But my argument is that the violence is always going to be the thing that floats to the top. It's always going to be the thing that, quote, wins. It's always going to be the thing that gets reported on. It's always going to be the thing that gets reacted to. It's going to be the thing that that laws get passed in response to. And not in a good way. And
that's why we need, I agree, and that's the problem with the corporate media. That's why we need more media like you that's going to bring out what's really going on, democracy now. Because we got to tell our own story. Because we can't rely and react to what the media does. I just think we have to have a broad strategy, because Nazis and fascism, you know, like my grandfather fought against Nazism in Germany. You know what I mean? We can't allow this to happen here, and that's all I'm trying to say.
No, I'm with you on that. My dad joined the army hoping to fight fascists too, although the war ended while he was in boot camp. But I get it. Moana, thank you for the call. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have the latest news and information from Wall Street and Main Street, all points in between, plus best of the rest of the news. And don't forget, democracy begins with you. Get out there, show up, participate, tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.